Hey, we're so glad just to come and be able to celebrate. That's really what we're here to do tonight, is to celebrate the opportunity that we have to continue to minister together in this town that God has placed us in. And we're going to share about a resource that we think that we need to avail ourselves to that will take, I am sure, much sacrifice from every one of us in this room. A different kind of sacrifice than the hundreds of man hours that we currently invest to make the facilities that we are using work week in and week out, but a sacrifice that's just as real and just as expensive nonetheless. But more than that, we're here to talk about the fact that we are glad and we celebrate the privilege that we have to be difference makers, you know, history makers, eternal difference makers with one another in this city. And what we want to do is just take advantage of where we are tonight and just really, like a bunch of kids that are always asking dad for the next thing. You know, God, this is great. You've given us this really great relationship with the school district. Couldn't you do more? God, this is great. You've given us this great property with this office building that we can already use for stuff in the middle of the week and great children's stuff now that make it secure for folks to come to stuff for women during the week and, you know, celebrate recovery and raise the mark and offices, you know, that are ours now that we don't have to, you know, pay out $700,000 in rent a year. Could you give us more? You know, what we really want to do tonight is in the midst of believing that God wants us to continue to participate in this really special thing that He's doing. There's also just rest and glory and the opportunity that we have just where we are. And the lives that have been changed to this point just with what we've done. And to tell God, if we died today, if Watermark went, you know, off the face and of the earth today, if we didn't have a chance to do anything else, you know, if the roof came in on us in this moment, we have a lot to be thankful for. Now, it's my great hope and Irving Bible's expectation that this roof won't come in on us. You know, we just have a God that we wanted to say, He's all those things the ladies just listed off, and He is more than enough. And you're going to find out that that's an idea that we're going to communicate throughout the night. But we want to just celebrate the great place that God has brought us, the great things that He's already done, the relationship with Him that all of us have the opportunity to have. And just celebrate that for a little bit. And we're going to just take a moment and just shepherd our hearts and just thank God for being more than enough. And then to declare together in song that we want to lift our hands, not just in worship. You know, how empty would be? There's really two problems with hand lifting in worship. One is that some of us would say, I'm never going to do it. It's just not something I'm comfortable with or ever consider. And you know what? It's really not a good spiritual litmus test. Do you love God enough? Are you authentic enough to lift your hands in worship? Because most people, when they ask that, define worship in a very small way. In that moment when you're in a corporate gathering, often on Sunday morning. It's a problem if because of pride you wouldn't lift your hands in worship there. But it's really a problem if the only time you lift your hands in worship is in a musical worship setting. So, I really don't care what you do with your hands in the next 10, 15, 20 minutes. I think that all of us will be considered of those that are around us. But God cares deeply about what you do with your life. And He says that He wants each of us to make our lives a living and holy sacrifice for Him, which is acceptable in our offer, which is everything that we've got. And so when you sing in just a minute that you're the Lamb of God is worthy and that we lift our hands, don't think about lifting our hands right now. The question is, do you just give Him your life? Are your hands available to Him in the vernacular of the day 24/7? And if so, it doesn't matter what you do with your hands right here. Is your heart His? But let's celebrate the God who is more than enough, who is worthy of all of our worship, no matter what that looks like for Him. Let's worship together. Well, this is really fun that we can get together like this on a Saturday night, despite the fact that David Stern and his cronies at the NBA decided to move the Mavs game up an hour and a half on us, and that undoubtedly captured some folks with prior commitments. But we are really glad to be here tonight and to be able to gather us all together in one room, and also to free us up, frankly, for Sunday morning in a way that we're not normally freed up to impact our world. You have a great opportunity tomorrow to not go someplace else on a Sunday morning. Wake up, enjoy a quiet morning with your family, and get out where your neighbors that normally aren't where you are on Sunday are, and interact with them, and share your morning with them. Go out to breakfast with them. And when they say, why aren't you at church? They tell them, Tell them we got together last night, and that's legal. It's okay. And tell them why we did. But there's so much that we have to celebrate that we took a moment to get away in a special way and talk about it. It really is a great privilege. You know, a lot of folks shy away from conversations like we're about to have because they think it's a painful one. One that people go, gosh, why are they talking to me about this, you know? And I want to tell you, I think what we're about to have a conversation with tonight, and frankly, not a lot more in the future, unless you ask for it, is because it's a really a chance to acknowledge a few things. First of all, when my kids continue to ask me for money, and my kids continue to ask me for time, and my kids continue to ask me for space, you know, it's a sign that they're growing. There's something exciting happening here. We all have friends that have had the tragedy of losing a little one that no longer demands attention, that no longer needs time, that no longer develops, that no longer takes away money. And we don't celebrate that, do we? We are in the middle of something that's really growing, something that is developing before us. And so it requires more and more. And that's a good thing to be able to celebrate that. It's a good thing to be able to have these kind of conversations because it'll force us all to ask ourselves again, is this really worth it? I mean, is this vision that we've all talked about, this difference-making life that we want to have in this community that we live in, is it really worth what it's going to require to make it worth it, to make it happen? It's a chance to re-ante, for all of us to re-up, for all of us to go, you know what, whatever it takes, I want to throw myself at it because there's nothing else that demands and deserves more of my heart and my passion. This is the one pure and holy passion. Everything else is pale and poor in comparison to it. And what's really a tragedy is when something as spectacular as that which we've had a chance to celebrate over our short little bit of life together inside this community of faith that we call, as we gather locally, Watermark. You know, I don't know if you realize how rare it is to be a part of a body that experiences what we experience on a weekly basis. The lives that are being changed in our midst. I was sharing with some friends this week. Before I got involved in a local community like I'm involved right now, I was involved in camping, you know, Christian camping for 10 years with Kanakuk Camp. And, you know, I can remember, it was the summer of 1984, 83 or 84. I was in Lampy, Missouri. And CNN always has this little thing where they talk about, you know, the hottest place in the country, the coldest place in the country. It was 113 degrees in July in Lampy, Missouri. And it was Parents' Day. And that's when we do a track meet, a swim meet, field events. And, I mean, it starts early. Parents are coming after 26 days not seeing their kids. They're excited. They are absolutely dying as they get out of their air-conditioned cars and walking on these slow hills of Missouri. But we were running around, and this was the end of going hard already for one full term, and our second, you know, full term was done. And, I mean, you are spent. You are filthy. You are nasty. You are tired. You are irritable. And you go, this is nuts. Why do I eat the same food every 7 days? Why do I put up with all these kids? Why do I, you know, keep, you know, giving all I got, running from this to that, trying to be creative and doing something new and different. And you know what? What we would do at the end of each of those times is we'd have a time in the gym when the parents would then go away for an evening and we'd get the kids together before they came back to pick them up and we'd just say, talk about what God has done. And then those kids would stand up and we called it Say So, you know, out of Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And one at a time, these kids would stand up and they would talk about what God had done in their life in that little 3 weeks in the Ozarks. And you'd just sit there and you just couldn't believe it. That kid that you thought that there was no heart melting that was going on, all of a sudden would talk about how his heart had changed. This, you know, it would come from every angle, every imaginable story. And you would just sit there and you would just go, what else do I want to do but sweat like this so that stories like this can happen? And we would all get together as a staff and as a leadership team afterwards, and we'd just go, can you believe what God just did with us? And all our frustration and all the brokenness and all our hard work and all our 16, 17-hour days, look what happened. Look at all the lives that were just changed that are going to go back and hopefully change families' lives and change communities' lives and grow up to be difference makers themselves. If even a little bit of this holds, what an amazing thing to be a part of. And we got energized again and again. You know, for me, 10 snows to 10 snows, as we called it up there in those parts. To keep giving ourselves away, because we kept hearing stories that created a sense of awe that made us go, this is something different. And you know, that's what really has been going on at Watermark from the very beginning. You know, if not to encourage you, for my sake, so that I know that I'm not crazy and that this is worth it, we have in that little Watermark news every week a story of life change where somebody says, let me just tell you what God's done in my life. And you know what our problem is? Is we don't have enough weeks to print all the stories. And that's not the common experience of too many people in local communities. Because they go, you know what? Nothing bad happened this week. There's no tremendous acts of transformation. Things that are producing a sense of awe. I had tonight, I wish I could do it for you. I've got it myself, but I saved the message. I got it last Thursday. A guy who was one of our Watermark News stories, just, you know, his name was John Foley. John was a Blue Angel, a Navy Blue Angel, the lead solo pilot for the Blue Angels. That through a weird series of events, a guy that I worked at Kennekuk with is now vice president for World Vision. John is a consultant, has his own consulting motivational business, was up in Washington State talking to these guys about how they could do more for the sake of humankind in the world. And at the end of it, walked up to them and said, hey, I just shared with you guys something. Let me ask you a question. I live in Fort Worth, and the gal that I've been dating has a son that's starting to dabble in Mormonism. Do you know a church in Fort Worth that I could take him to that would help him know about God as you guys know him and that will get his life on course? And my friend that he happened to walk up to said, well, let me just tell you, you know, where do you stand with this God? Why are you asking me? Why don't you take him where you're connected? And John said, well, my life's fine, is what he said. I'm in control, you know. I just told you how I thought I needed a college degree, I got it. I thought I needed a postgraduate degree, I got it. I thought I needed to be a pilot, I got it. I thought I needed to be a Blue Angel, I wasn't. I thought I needed to be the lead solo pilot for the Blue Angels, it happened. I thought I needed my own business, I'm there. I mean, my life's fine, but I want to know how I can help this kid. And he said, well, let me just tell you something. I don't know a lot about what's going on in Dallas, but I've got a friend that, you know, in Dallas, Fort Worth, but I've got a friend that's over there that I would encourage you to go check it out. So John came one week. He came one week to find a place that he could take this kid to, and by his own story, talked about how God captured his heart. Last week, those of you that were in the service saw the baptism video from a year ago May. And you saw one guy, you know, kind of thick-chested and cut, come out of that water and just go, yes. When he learned about the joy of surrendering control to Jesus Christ. And this friend of mine with World Vision was just in town and asked me to get together and talk with him about how we might partner with them to do some things around the world as a church that would begin to be an influencer of other churches that would take new ground in some areas and make a difference with their relationship with governments and different things like that. And some of the skill set that he saw was in this body. He wanted to know if we would consider partnering with them in some ways. And I told him the story of John Foley. He didn't even remember. He goes, oh, you mean the Blue Angel? He goes, that guy dropped more F-bombs at World Vision than anybody in the history of World Vision. He came to your church? I go, man, he didn't come to our church. He came to Christ. And he goes, you've got to be kidding me. And I told him this, and I told him that John was now, you know, living somewhere, and it motivated me to call John Foley up on the phone and say, John, I've just been thinking about you. I've been praying for you. I want to make sure you're still doing well. We kept in touch, you know. And I got this phone call from him Thursday afternoon that just would blow you away. Todd, my life has just gone unbelievable. I am so on fire for God. I can't even communicate to you. I wake up. I spend about the first hour and a half every day reading the Bible. He's changing me inside out. He goes, it's affecting my business. It's affecting the way I address people. It's affecting the way I address corporations. He goes, I found a church up here. He said, this guy wants to begin to disciple me and spend some more time with me like you were when I was in Dallas. And he said, but I got to tell you, Watermark's still my church. It's just been on my heart lately. It's funny that you called and said you were praying for me because I've been praying for you guys. I can't wait to get back to Dallas and visit my church again. And I just thought to myself, what else would I want to do with my life? What else would I want to do with my time? And it's not just John Foley's. It's stories that we all see all the time. And I just want to say, we got to do everything we can. I don't know if you guys know how unusual this is. For God to be working in the way that He has been over these last 3 to 4 years in moving and transforming lives in the way that He's doing. And when something as mundane as bricks and mortar, something as temporal as land and parking gets in the way of what God's doing, that's a real shame. When that which is empty, pale, and poor limits and hinders and threatens that which is shimmering, eternal, and transforming, you want to do everything you can to say, let's get that out of the way. Over the last several years, as we as leaders have taken a chance and stepped back and evaluated what it is that is affecting us as a mission, consistently from our leadership, both lay and on staff, the number one thing, the red light area in every single area of ministry has been facilities. And we knew that, didn't we? That's why we did something incredible together last September, in order to create a place that we could potentially build on that would allow us to have the opportunity to continue to participate fully and do everything we could, humanly speaking, to stop the hindering that we could see that was happening to the Lord's mission. And so that's how we kind of got to where we are today. And that's really what we want to do. We just want to say, you know, that one of the most famous parables of Christ is the parable of the sower, where He talks about the seed, the Word of God, which is life-changing and transforming, goes out. But there's a problem. Certain places it falls, it gets choked, it gets hindered, it gets thwarted. And what God's exhorting you to do is, in the care of your own heart, make sure that anything that would hinder what God wants to do, anything that you can do to prepare your heart, to soften it, to get it cleaned up and ready, make it tender so that God's Word can get in there and grow and bear all the fruit that it should. Humanly speaking, knowing all that God's got to do to make that happen, but humanly speaking, do everything you can so that what God wants to work can work, right? And folks, that's what we're about to do. One more time. Is we're about to do all those things. Re-ante, re-up. Go, this vision's worth it. There's nothing else we'd rather sacrificially be a part of than this. Because this is what makes history, not in the human sense, but eternal history, in a way that I want to participate with what God's doing in this land. And I'm not sure that those of us that have already been inside of this for maybe even just a few months know how rare it is for this to be happening. But I want to tell you, in a way that is all too horror-provoking, it's really rare within a local church for what we have come to expect to be happening. And there's something very mundane that's gotten in the way of it. And so, humanly speaking, we're going to do everything that we can to get rid of that which is empty, pale, and poor, so that what God wants to do can reach its full zenith and full potential, you know, where we are. And you know what? That's just for the next phase. We don't know when it's going to stop. It's not our business to make it stop. It's our business to go, God, what do you want us to do? And last September, we came together and we said, we think we want, you know, this little piece of land, to eventually investigate how we could use that land to see if maybe God would do something that on an ongoing and regular basis would be a tool that we would use to touch lives. Now, folks don't come and have never come to Watermark because of its facility. And we don't ever want them to think of a facility when they think of us. We want them to think about the hands that are lifted high rejoicing, and they want to know why. That's what we want them to think of. But we want to have a resource and a tool that we think will allow us to quadruple the impact that we're having right now. And that's what you're about to see us, you know, present to you tonight. This is what we've done. We got together a group of people right after, in a great way, a miraculous way, the resources came together to allow us to purchase that property. A team of us got together and we started to go, okay, what would we do with the site? The very first thing we did, in fact, before we bought the site, as we shared with you, is we made sure that that site was usable for the kind of opportunity that we needed, given who we were as a body. That it could hold the right amount of space and the right amount of opportunity to reach and impact kids and the right amount of opportunity for offices and support ministry and all that needs to go on throughout the week and parking and all the things the city requires. And we found out that that site could. And it was so strategic in where it was located. We looked at over 20 to 30 different pieces of property. Actually made offers on several that were never even entertained, only to find out that the best piece of property we ever knew about at the most economical price, in the most strategic place, was available at just the right time. In fact, one of the spots we looked at, I was driving by today with a friend of mine, you know, Dean. He and I were driving up Central Expressway. We drove by what's called the Handbag Factory, which is just north of Forest on the east side. You know, and it's about 11 acres that they wanted, you know, upwards of $10 million for. And there's basically a bomb shelter built on it. It's flat and receding towards a flood area. You know, and we really went after that for a while. And I just go, can you imagine if we'd have gotten that thing? Can you believe where we are? 3 more acres for $3 million less dollars. That's as visible as it is. With an office building already on it. And we just shook our heads. We just couldn't believe how good God was in the way that, you know, He brought us to the right place at the right time. And so once we had that, we began to work and we asked ourselves, what should we do there? This is the first thing we did. We assigned under the leadership of a guy that had done this for a long time with Disney and their little real estate development company, Arvida, a system that he put together and helped us use. And that system included putting together a group of adjectives and verbs and nouns that would describe the feel of the facility that we felt like would help us as a ministry tool to continue to partner with what God is doing. And this was the list of adjectives that came up before us. We had about 50. We boiled them down to these 10 that we could give them to the architects. That we felt like we want a facility that would partner with what we're doing, that would have these descriptors, be warm, be simple, open, usable, timeless, hospitable, inviting or welcoming, exciting, you know, Texas or Southern, kind of hill country feel. Those are the adjectives. When somebody looked at what we finished, that they would use those kind of adjectives. We were about excellence, not extravagance. Honoring God, not, you know, audacious demand, that reflected, you know, good stewardship and sound thinking, not just spectacular spendthrift behavior. And those were the adjectives which we share with the architect that we were eventually led to partner with. Here were some verbs. You know, when you walk in this facility, what should this facility evoke? What should it make you want to do? Relax. Laugh. Have fun, man. Can't you imagine if you walk in the presence of God? That one of the things you should do is just go, man, you know, He is our Savior. He is our rest, our Noah, which lifts us up from the flood of judgment and concern and worry. You ought to rest there. You ought to enjoy your presence. You ought to be challenged and motivated. This place ought to make you want to give, contribute, and serve. Engage fully. Rest, retreat, explore, be trained, connect, return, and celebrate the greatness of what that place is about. And really, the person that that place is about. Those were the verbs. Now, I share this with you because this is what we gave our architect, just to start with. We say, we believe God has gifted you. We are not gifted. This building is going to be built by experts, not elders. And we said, we just like, and you'll see in a little bit, when God was building a temple for Himself in the Old Testament, He raised up some men that He specifically, the Scripture says, put it in their heart to invent ways. To engrave, to build. And we looked at our architect and we said, you know, we went through about 7 or 8 of the greatest architectural firms in town. And we went through this little system with them. But at the end of the day, we said, guess what? We think God is going to touch you in a special way. It turned out that unbeknownst to me and to us, that the guy that we ended up getting to partner with is a man who was very much wed to us here. I've shared before, to my great embarrassment, a guy that now has become a real good friend of mine, Tip Housewright. When he was there, he was presenting back to us what he thought we wanted. And he kept saying, you know, we and this church, we can't afford to do it. And I kept saying, are you using pronouns that we and us? I go, what? I go, have you visited? He goes, I'm a member. For about 2 years, I serve in On Your Mark. I go, you do? He goes, yeah. I go, okay, go ahead. Keep going. And it was clear that what Tip and his team have done, they understood what we were about. And these verbs that we just talked about, those adjectives. And then here are some of the nouns that we felt like were important. You know, wood beam, wildflowers, stone, porches, clean lines, year-round color, water features, climbing walls, activity, fire pit, gathering places, outdoor, indoor living. All right, we gave him those 10 adjectives, those 10 verbs, and those 10 nouns. And we said, okay, gifted one, touched of God, create. All right. And so he went to work and he also, you know, he understands a little bit about what we're about. I'm going to tell you, this is really fun for us because we've given you the basic building blocks of what the site will look like. But tonight we want to show you for the first time a little bit more of the face and then explain to you a little bit more of the inners and then talk about what it's going to take to make this thing hum. Well, here we go. Look at this. Now, if you look at the site, you'll see that... That towards the stern, is where we'll shepherd the children. And just, you know, it's kind of a silly metaphor, but the bow worship, that's where we'll do the worship center on the front. On good weather days, we'll be above deck. When it gets nasty, we can go below deck. No, let me tell you, and by the way, when you drive past LBJ, this will be kind of the view from LBJ that you'll see. You can see the current office building where it is, and then as you move west to east, you go from bow to stern. All right? Now, just one little shot inside where I'll communicate from on a weekly basis, you know, and project God's word from will look a little bit like this. And so we're going to give you truth, and we're not going to compromise just to fill it up. All right? Now, you know what's so great about this? Is that when we came together and we had the opportunity to purchase that land, Sam Ratliff, who's, you know, just a godly man, who's been involved in a very humble way with our stage setup and tear down. He's now part of our theme team that makes that thing look the way it did on Easter and look the way that it does when we have different ideas going on. Sam walked up to me and he said, Todd, as soon as he heard we built, he came up and shook my hand. He pulled me down by his mouth and he whispered, he said, you build us a battleship. He said, you build us a battleship, because this is not about a place that's comfortable for us. You build us a resource that will allow us to accomplish God's mission for this church. You build us a battleship. I saw Sam here tonight before we got started. I said, Sam, you're going to be pleased with our design. You're going to like it. All right, well, let me show you what we have done. All right, that's not it. This is moving west to east. This is, and I'll just tell you, we have made a decision that reflects, we think, you know, careful stewardship to not do a lot of expensive models. The renderings that we have come up with are mostly pencil sketch in order to allow us to keep all our resources moving in the right direction. But there'll be as much detail as is necessary for you to understand how those adjectives, verbs, and nouns that we think reflect what God wants us to do will flesh its way out. And when you leave here tonight, we're going to give you a watermark news. There's a reason we didn't give it to you coming in, and that you're going to get it going out. Because inside of there are some of these renderings. And we're going to make all this stuff available on the website for you eventually as well. But this is moving west to east. About 250,000 cars a day will drive by this. From Park Central all the way down to where that office building is, as I look most over here at the screen, I'm going to use a pointer that's going to help us now as we walk through this site, this facility a little bit. Right there, that little Y banner is a place to show you what we might do. This is the back end of what we'll use as the worship site right there. Our office building's here, and as you move this way, you'll find this is on your mark in the first and second floor stuff right here. And this begins to move a little bit into what we'll call our town square area right here in this spot. And then our worship center. In the back of the worship center, in the very corner of our property, will be some structure here. We're not sure if it'll be glass. We're not sure exactly what it'll look like. Don't get caught up in the colors too much. But there'll be something there that will be inviting people towards us. That'll move in a way that what Tip and his team try to come up with, almost with a little bit of a wave feel that'll move through. It's soft and inviting. It doesn't look like a traditional church structure that will invite people in. You'll see the use of a lot of natural light that'll enter in and illuminate this different spot right here. And a place that if we have something going on exciting right there, we can hang a big banner from. You know, and just say, this is what's going on here right now. Come and join us. Now, as you go to the site, you'll see that the office building over here that we're going to begin to use right away is an exciting structure. We mentioned a little bit of this when we got together in March, but that building, this is what we're going to do with it. The second floor, we're going to renovate and use as a main gathering area, initially for stuff like Raise the Mark. This space right here, again, looking on this screen to my right, your left, will be about a 300-seat capacity area where we can do Raise the Mark, where the building, the roof will be blown out and sight lines will be good and sound will be sufficient to get us started as a good gathering place right now. These are rooms right here that will be used for equipping and community and the like and things of that sort. This is just a kind of a common area. This will be opened up kind of as a porch that will look out towards our property this direction. And that'll be the second floor. Now, we're going to leave the third floor available to kind of reproduce this design. We'll lease out floors 4, 5, and 6 to help offset some of the cost of operating that building. The first floor will continue to be developed for child care so that we can use it. Already, this building, known as PC2, which we'll change the name of it shortly, is being used almost every day of the week. A large group of women meet there for our women's study on Monday morning, Thursday evening. Celebrate Recovery with several hundred of there on Monday nights. There's small groups meeting Wednesday nights. There's a lot of equipping things that are going on. Guys that meet there early in the morning. That facility is already being used. The construction team that we're going to partner with is beginning to work in the offices, which will go on the 8th floor right there. And we'll be able to save close to $200,000 a year by moving our offices over there. And that's going to happen late summer, early fall when we make that move, once those offices are set out. And the 9th floor, we're going to use as kind of a conference gathering area. And then leave the 7th floor for future expansion as we need it from the offices, if that what goes on. If you left our tower, though, and moved now down towards our future site, this is what you'd see. This is kind of a rendering of what it would look like. There's that little walkway that you'll see in the macro air shot in a minute that moves now towards that facility. And you'll see this is kind of a V or a U that'll open up right here in this little section. As you make your way, on your mark on this side, starting blocks here, you can't tell, but this is going to be, maybe you can a little bit, this is kind of an open-air basketball court for our junior high and high school guys, right up there and leading back to the J. Crew area. But as you get a little closer, you come to a courtyard area that'll look a little bit something like this. It'll have an open, gathering spot that'll allow us to just gather all in here. We'll have benches and different things like that. As you move inside and go inside what we'll call our town square area, it'll feel open like this with people gathering and, J. Crew's up there on that side. On your mark, over here on the right, to the left again is the starting blocks area and place to receive folks. That's where you enter into the worship space right there. Open balconies that go up and through both sides. And then as you stand in there and look back out towards the office building, this is something you might see right here. Just a gathering area, a little fireplace pit area that folks can sit. Coffee bar will be somewhere in here, not unlike the ugly mug that Irving Bible has. And again, this is that little, that's what they call their coffee shop here. But out here in this little courtyard area is what you saw when you first walked in. Then there was a town square, and this is looking back out. You get the feel for what we're trying to create. As you get a big view of the site again, just to let you know a little bit what we're looking at, here one more time now is this is the walk right here from the office building over to our site. And then you get up here, and this is that little courtyard area I spoke of right there. Some little water feature or something, maybe a coffee bar, play area. I don't know if you had a chance to see the facility yet, but please walk through it. Because what Irving Bible has done is created some of the feel that we think will suggest to you what it could be like if this was our facility used on a regular basis. You know, we've asked ourselves a lot, why are folks so consistently late to coming to our services? And since the worship team won't let me even consider the fact that they're lousy, and because I wouldn't suggest it if they would receive it, we thought one of the reasons is because, you know, there's no place to come until you're in. That little lobby area can't really be called a lobby. It's more like a restroom when you get in there. And there's no place to go, no place to gather, no place to enjoy each other. And so we will create a space that folks will want to come to and spend time, not on Sundays, but all throughout the week, which is a lot of the way this facility is used right here, which is why we're here. But let me just give you an idea of what we're looking at. On your mark, and Kyle's team has met with any parent that wanted to meet to talk about the way they've designed this right here. This is kind of the preschool nursery area in the first floor of this whole thing, a little private air playground that can only be accessed from inside the building for them. This is over here, which is closest to the majority of the parking for small children. But this will be where folks will enter 90% of the time. Over here is a little chapel area, which we'll use for funerals and weddings and smaller gatherings. And hopefully, you know, I'd love to see that be a place that we could host someday, some sort of ethnic community of faith that wasn't going to ever keep up with us in our language, an agua mark, if you will, that could meet in there and, avail itself to all of our resources and all of our messages and planning. And I can envision a day when we've got a brother on staff that's fluent, Hispanic gentleman, that I literally say, this is what I'm teaching on this week. This is all my notes. You take it as much as you think it's relevant to what you want to communicate. Here's all the creative elements that we're going to use. Here's the music we're going to use. You go make that happen over there. Let's partner together to reach this community. Could use that facility as there, meeting when we meet. Our kids being cared for by their kids. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, I'd love to tell you we'd meet Raise the Mark there, but there's only 300 seats. And so I hope we never can meet in there for our time of worship and prayer and intercession and celebration as a body. Just to give you an idea what this is right here, that's 3,500 seats. What you're sitting in is 2,200 seats. This space right here in this little area, and I'll explain to you the size of that and why, but this space right here, we put a little football field over to give you an idea of the size. All right? Lots of space for folks to gather. It's about 190,000 square foot all in right here. And so you can see right here is the courtyard area, but from the tip of the worship center to the throat really of where you enter this thing is lots of space for folks to be together. Okay? The second floor, I think we have a rendering of that a little bit. You can see there's J. Crew will be in the second floor. We're not going to finish this out potentially initially because it will give us room to expand and save maybe some costs in initial construction. But honestly, all this we'd like to do at once if we could. But here's some, that's kind of an indoor-outdoor. We see this covered by some sort of like mesh netting that the kids can be out there playing in up there that, you know, with the good weather we've got. That's what Dave and Braun want to do inside. There's like an amphitheater area for the J. Crew and those things to meet in the second floor. More on your mark opportunities over there. We see breaking up first kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And then we got our J. Crew folks taking over from there, all in this new facility. This is enough space with all this is here to handle the number of children that 3,500 adults would require. And so it's an incredibly exciting opportunity. If you want to, just to get a little shot of how we basically see the shape of the worship center, but frankly, you're in something. This is a view. Don't see seats there. Don't see color there. But we've done a lot of times. We've looked at, I don't know, we went to a database that had over 3,000 churches in it. And we've talked to a lot of folks that have done stuff all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. We've looked at churches in England and Australia. We've looked at churches, you know, in California to New York and said, what have they done recently? What can we learn from them? And based on what we want to do as a body, the way we're going to communicate and resonate, the facility that they've designed here is the general leanings of what our space will look like. Think intimate. And even though this is 2,200 seats, we don't want our room to feel much bigger than this. But it'll have almost 50% more seats. Now, as you look at all this, you might have a right to ask yourself, what in the world is this going to cost? And that's a fair question. And just to give you an idea, where we are tonight, this is 2,200 seats, includes this town square, which roughly this development that they did about 2 years ago, they completed at Irving Bible. This is 60,000 square feet in their new development, and that costs about $16 million. Some of you that can remember back to what I talked about a little bit ago know that we're talking about 190,000 square feet since we're not adding on to a facility. And so you do the math. The numbers do get a little better for us, but this project should be in the 30 to 35, 35 to 40 million range once you include the facility and FF&E, which is furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And somebody said, you know, given what you are as a church, and you should really, FF&E is really what it is because of all the things that require to make a facility like this operate in the way that we want it to. Now, that's a lot of money. Someone might say, that sounds like a lot of money. And I go, no, it is a lot of money. It's a whole lot of money. And we're going to talk about how we're going to go about that together as a body. And I'm going to tell you what I really believe. And I'll start by saying this. I believe that the reason that this facility makes sense to us in all our planning and the reason that we have this opportunity to impact our city and therefore our world eventually together is because we have the resource to do this. I am convinced that God has brought us to a place where we have now an opportunity to put together a resource tool that will excite us and facilitate all that we have always been about. And God has given us a design for it and through His people, and that we have together gone, this is what wisdom would have us pursue because we have the ability, where we are, who we are, to pull it off. Because I don't think God ever asked us to do something that we can't execute. Now, we are not telling you, again, that we can say for sure we've just come off Sinai, we've met with the burning bush, and this is what needs to happen. We are sharing with you why wisdom and prudence and planning and prayer and time have led us to this place. And I will come back to the number and size specifically of this room to explain to you why we did that. But before we do that, I want to take you through a time in history when there was another group of people that experienced a similar thing. It was a time when a guy did come off Sinai and did say, this is what God would have us do. In Exodus chapter 25, the Lord said to Moses, Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. Let them construct a sanctuary for me. Now, this is God saying, I want this to happen. There's no discussion. There's no committee. There's no thought. There's no prayer necessary. I'm telling you, this is what I want to see built. But even then, look what God does. And this is why we're going about it the way that we are. Even if we knew that God wanted to do it absolutely in a Sinai kind of a way, and we are convinced that this is where He's leading us, we would still tell you and ask you to participate only the way that God did then. You're going to see this little idea appear again and again and again. I look to my right, your left. You tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution from every man whose heart moves him. That's who I want to be in on this. See, this is a chance for us to re-up and go, this is worth it. My heart is moved to be about this mission, to partner with them and to make it happen this way. I do see a need for a resource. I do see facilities. The poor and mundane and elementary things of this world are getting in the way of what God is doing. And so I want to do everything I can to partner with Him to make this a reality. Now, a few chapters later, this is what happens. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is willing of heart, see this idea? Let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze. If you went back, and specifically to Exodus 38 and looked, you would find out that God wanted a group of people that were in the desert, that didn't have jobs, and that weren't producing crops, that had just come out of Egypt as slaves, that God had given them what they needed to do this. The gold, silver, and bronze, what did He expect them to build? It involved 1 ton of gold, 4 tons of silver, and 2.5 tons of bronze. Now, just the fact that He made them lug that around, much less have it, is kind of amazing. And I got a hunch it wasn't all they had. But He wasn't going to ask them to do what He hadn't already given them that which they could do with. He goes on from there and He says, I don't want you just to do that, but I want you to bring, you know, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, and porpoise skins, and acacia wood. Now, there's a lot of things I could talk about right here, but at the very least, you can see that God was not a member of Gita. God's for the ethical treatment of animals. He wasn't real concerned at that point for that. But what I'm asking, what I'm telling you here, all right, is that here they are in the desert, and He says, you bring porpoise skins. Now you kind of go, why would He ask them to bring porpoise skins? They're in a desert. And my reason to tell you this is, I think God asked them to do what they could do. And I want to tell you that I think God's asking us to do what we can do. Is it going to hurt? Is that maybe the only porpoise skin you've got? Yeah. But what else would you want to give it to? And God says, you decide what you want to do with your heart. And I'm not going to make you feel guilty. I'm not going to bring experts in. We're not going to hold banquets. And we're not going to target high porpoise skin donors. We're going to say, this is the need. We think we've got it. Let's see what God does in a way that will bring you joy in participating and making this thing happen. See, this is what happened after Moses painted that vision for the next 14 verses. In verse 20, he then said, okay, I'm done. And so, the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. In a way, everybody went back to their own tent, just like you're going to do. And when you're back there, you thought about the words that were shared before. Now, they didn't have what you've got, which is the ability to commune intimately with God by the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, and to listen to Him and just say, Lord, you know, the porpoise skins that I've got aren't mine. The goat's hair that I've got, the fine linens of blue, purple, and other colors aren't mine. They're yours. Do you want me to take all of them over here? Is this where you want me to put them? Is this the time to release them? And I want you to go away from Moses to your own homes. And as the Lord moves every single person in their heart, I want you to do what's right. Look what happens. It says that everyone whose heart then stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for all the FF&E, everything that went inside of it. It continues. And it says that the Israelites, all the men and the women, there was nobody that got left out whose heart moved them. See that again? See an idea that's coming through here? What's this about? This is about a God moving in the hearts of His people. It says, move them to bring the material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done. They brought a free will offering to the Lord, not a tax, but an act of joy and expression of, I can't wait to do this. And then it says eventually that the guys that God had touched, these were two of the men. One you'll find out was more of the architect, and one was more of the interior designer. And these two guys that were skillful people, and the Lord had put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work and the construction, they were going to perform the way God wanted them to. And then it says that after a while, Moses called these guys and put everybody to work in the way they should be put to work. Experts, not elders. And they got busy. And they received from Moses and all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work and the construction of the sanctuary. And they still continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. Some people are going to ask, how long is this going to go on? And the answer is every morning, as long as it needs to go on until we have accomplished what the Lord has stirred us to try and accomplish. That might take 30 days. Let me say it again. That might take 30 days. And if it takes that long, we'll take all 30 of them. It might take 60 days. It might take 90 days. I don't know how long it's going to take. We are going to ask that everybody does, again, a very initial ask. Lord, what do you want me to do today? You know, and God, you know, over the next 3 years, you might want me to live in a way that will allow me to do more going forward. But unless you take me out, or, you know, I don't know when I'll ever stop asking you, what do you want me to do for you? And I've got before me something right now that I believe in, that I see, that I'm behind the vision of, that I'm serving on this battleship, and I want to sail well. And so every day, we're not going to ask you to tell us what God's convicted you to do for the next 2 months, 3 years, or 6 years. We want you to do every day everything that God wants you to do, and we don't need to know anything else. Except how can we help you have conviction and peace and joy that you are available to God with all your porpoise skins every day? And when you can, you bring them and you lay them right there where God can get busy using them. And it says they kept bringing to him free will offerings every morning. And then it continues in verse 4. All the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came each from the work which he was performing. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. Do you see that? Hey, Moses, man, the people have brought more than enough. And so guess what? Moses called them all together again and he commanded them one more time. This is what he commanded them. Let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained. See, also forbidden from bringing any more. Do you know what? I cannot wait until I tell you, listen, gang. We no more porpoise skins for this purpose. We're done. Your opportunity to be a partner in this particular work of God at this moment is over. If you weren't already availing yourself to it, or if you'd only availed yourself to it to a certain amount, there's no more need for that. Now, there's going to be future need, absolutely. There's going to be future opportunity, absolutely. But there's going to be a day when we're going to say, that's it, no more. When you walk out of here tonight, you're going to get a Watermark News. And inside that Watermark News is going to be a magnet. This is it. This is our big blitz. You ready? And there's one of those little renderings that we talked about that's up there. And on it, it just simply says, more than enough. Here's our deal. Here's our dream. Here's what we want to happen. You put this wherever your magnet will stick. All right? And we've got enough that you can get more than one if you need it. And you put this where you can begin playing, you know, every day you see it. Just go, Lord, what do you want to stir me to do today on this day for you? Towards this thing. Move my heart. And I want you to put it somewhere where every day you pause. You don't blow over. You just say, God, what do you want? Because one of these days, I know it's going to be done. And they're going to say, stop bringing your man hours. Stop bringing your money. And bring your magnet. And all we're going to say is, look, guys, it's magnet day. Bring your magnet in. And all these magnets that have been stuck all over Dallas on refrigerators and cars, wherever they are, we're going to say, keep your money, bring your magnet. And we're going to melt every one of these things down, and then we're going to put a little magnet of remembrance somewhere in this site. A little stone of remembrance that I'm going to get to walk by all the rest of the days that God has me on this earth. And I'm going to say, inside that little thing right there is something that reminded me every day to pray that God would one day do this until there was more than enough porpoise skins to get it done. And that'll be that. There'll be a little rock right there that if you got a pacemaker, we'll have to put a sign. Don't walk too close to this rock. All right? But, all right, it'll just say more than enough. Look what God did. See, that's our great dream and hope. Now, let's get real utilitarian with a couple of questions. Here's the first one. Why are we moving towards this kind of facility, Ty? Did I just hear you say a little bit ago that this 60,000 square foot cost $16 million? Did you say 190,000? Did you say 30, 35, 35, 40 million? Why would you do that? We just anteed up for 10. And you just said 3,500 seats. Aren't we at 1,500 seats at Lake Highlands right now? Why are you jumping 2,000? The second question that kind of goes with this is, couldn't we build a $5 million interim facility that we could maybe make happen right here? And eventually, you know, build that up so we can afford the proposed one? Isn't that a good way to do it? Let me tell you. The reason that's not a good idea is, first of all, we don't have a site that you can do that on and then build what you eventually want to build on without tearing down that initial site, which would make us nomads again without a place to meet. And we're not sure that the relationships that we have right now, which are not guaranteed forever, would still be there. Secondly, to build a $5 million facility will not allow us to put together the kind of structure that we think we've already got at Lake Highlands. For us to build a facility that could allow us any room to grow is going to take more than that, especially when you take into mind, folks, that we have a great conviction that kids aren't just something we take care of until we're done with our time together. Kids are worth everything we've got to give them something excellent. And we are committed to having a world-class mission to kids, not just holding them till we're done in our tent. And so, lastly, we talked to a number of experts, guys that study churches like ours and that look and say, based on the growth rate that you've got, never having had your own property, when you get on a site, and a site that has the ability to hold and minister to and worship, lead people the way that you're talking about doing that, especially in the strategic place God's put you, if you build anything less than that, you are making a mistake. Because you will be in it and right away hitting your head on the ceiling and frustrated and find yourself right on the top of another construction project. And you don't want to do that. In fact, I shared this week with a few guys and their first comment was, why are you building something that small? You're making a mistake. People that are familiar with what God is doing here. The answer is that's all we can build on that site based on code. And so we wouldn't build less than that, and we can't build more than that. That will allow us to grow by 600%. 3,500 adults, we assume, running four services. That'll take us up over 12,000, 14,000 adults and have the support to minister to kids to go along with it. And that would maximize the use of that site that God has brought us to this point. That's why we're not doing the interim facility. It doesn't make sense. That site won't hold it. And we wouldn't build less than this anyway, given who we are as a church and what everybody who knows anything about what they've observed and what we're doing would recommend that we would do anyway. A couple of more questions we want to run you through. Are there stages for the build so that we can have at least some usable buildings at an earlier date? The answer to that is it's the conviction of leadership at this point to not build anything, to not start anything we can't finish, and not finish anything we can't use. Therefore, you don't just build a worship center because you can't use it without having excellence for kids. You don't just build something for kids because parents aren't going to drop their kids off there and drive somewhere else. And so, no, it's going to take most of that money, if not such an inconsequential number, that to say if we just had $15 million, we could get started. It's going to take most of us for us to break dirt. Next question. What is our plan to raise the money necessary to build the proposed facility? You've already heard that. To share the vision, to make ourselves available to anybody, anytime, as a group of leaders and experts to sit with you and help you either shepherd your heart about what type of response you ought to have, or to talk to you some more if you need some more detailed understanding of why we're doing this and what it is we're building and the reflective stewardship behind it. We think our numbers that we're giving you have cushion on purpose. And you can be sure that the most anally retentive, stewardship-driven construction people will be on this to drive those numbers down as much as we can. But everything that we have heard, based on where we're at, that we don't want to start anything we can't finish, we don't want to finish anything we can't use, is there's not very many stages in that little opportunity that we've got. Next, will we consider incurring any debt to facilitate the building process? It continues to be the current conviction of leadership that that would not be wise, even with pledges that we can use as a bridge loan. We want you to participate just as fully as you can, as long as the opportunity to give towards this is there. Now, let me just say this. If this happens in the next 60 days, some of you, if you're like me, and I'll explain in a minute about how I'm going to give towards this project, aren't going to be able to do what you go, gosh, if I just had 3 years, Todd, I want to give to that. Do you know what? God isn't going to measure where your giving went in terms of specific projects. He's going to gauge and measure and reward us according to where our hearts were and availability for Him all along the way. And I got a hunch that if you give every porpoise skin you should during the time that you should give during this purpose, when that is done, you'll have the opportunity to give in a way that will be just as pleasing to Him towards other things in the future. Even if they don't look like a facility, it'll still be pleasing to Him. We will cheat nobody out of the opportunity to be a resource to God in a way that will reward them for eternity. But you don't need to tell us what God's convicting you to do for the next 3 to 5 years. Just do it with joy. And so He says, more than enough for this. Here's other opportunities to honor Him. Next question. Will we ever consider debt? Again, just to put that up there, Scriptures don't forbid debt, so we don't think we should. But every time, as you have been well instructed by some of our leaders, every time debt is mentioned in the Scriptures, it is done with a sense of foreboding and warding, and the way that it cripples you and limits you. And so with great fear and trembling should you incur it. It is our conviction that right now we see no scenario where that makes sense for us. We won't say ever and never, because the Scripture don't say never and ever. And so we'll stand firm where it's firm, heed its principles, and move forward. Next question. Will we ask for pledges this time? No, we will not. We'll ask for you to go away to your tent and ask God to speak to your heart. Next question. What if I'm not able to give like I did in the fall? If you're like my family, I knew from the moment we started this mission that there was going to be a time that we needed to have some major capital event. And so I had a chance for 3 years, when I speak, when I do things with my salary, as I was giving generously to the Lord for the ongoing work, I also said, you know what? One day we're going to get to write a little bit different check out of our savings, out of other things that we'll decide not to do so that we can give towards this. I gave the most I had ever given in my life last September. And I've never had so much joy in writing a check. And I felt like, and just so you know, the amount that I gave was in a sense, you know, when I looked at the need that was there, I go, why even do this? You know, it was a huge amount of money for me and for my family. But I go, you know, 8 million, this? Okay. But you know something? When I heard that this body had participated together to pull that thing off, I felt like I wrote a check for the whole thing. Because you know why? My family and I had done everything that God wanted us to do with our porpoise skins in that moment. And I think a lot of other people did too. And that's why we all felt the way we did. Look what God did with us. Look what He did with us. And you can give the exact same way this time. Will my number look the same in the next 30 days? Nope, it can't. Unless God does something that He hasn't done these last 9 months from September to May. God hasn't resupplied that same amount for me to write the same size check. But can I tell you something? I'm going to give the exact same way. With joy, with prayer, with sacrifice, with thinking, and everything that I've got. My wife and I just found out something about where we were going to get some money based on, just for us it was our taxes, some other things. She said something to me today. She said, I don't care if we give every bit of that to this. I go, me either. That's one way that we are going to have some resupply. This happens to be one of the years where it's coming this way and not going that way for our family. And so I don't know what God's going to do. All I do know this is that I can give the exact same way I gave last September It may not look the same. It won't look the same. It might have a less zero or two. But it's going to be with the same amount of joy and expectation with what God will do with it. And so you can give the same way. If you gave with introspection, humility, joy, and gratefulness for the opportunity. All right. Well, that's what we want to share with you guys tonight. When you walk out of here, you'll see some of the renderings you saw up here on big easels. You can take a look and walk around, enjoy the property and enjoy the facility together. We'll be available. All you got to do is call the office, the Watermark News we're going to give you. Read that story carefully. Look at the date on your Watermark News. That's all the clue I'm going to give you. But take a look at this and see what we have before you. If you need to meet with someone, have some shepherd you through that this time, we want to do that. As much as it would help you as you listen to the Lord. But we are excited. And just so you know, we don't feel like this will help our mission if we talk about this on an ongoing way. Next Sunday, I'll address the hundreds of folks that wanted to be here but couldn't and tell them where they can have an opportunity to hear what I've shared with you guys tonight. But we're going to try and just see what's the initial response between now and Memorial Day with what God will do. And then we'll have to just, if it's not more than enough then, we'll say it's not more than enough. And every morning, we'll each do what we should do, maybe once or twice, you know, at strategic times throughout the year, if there's a need to, we'll address it again. But we're not going to have an ongoing conversation. We'll answer the question anytime somebody asks, how are we doing with the porpoise skins? And we'll let you know. But we won't ever answer the question so that somebody can say, I want to be the last guy that comes in. I've got 60 porpoise skins over here. Tell me when you need 50 and I'll be the hero. We won't answer it that way. We're not asking to be the hero. We're asking to be faithful with your heart. And there'll be more than enough, I'm convinced, if we do that. Father, I thank you for my friends that came out here to celebrate what you have done in our midst and what you are doing in our midst. And how humbled we are to be a part of the transforming lives that are all around us. May that never stop. God, we want to just tell you that we love you. That you are more than enough for us. That we don't need to beg and plead you. We don't need to tell you that if you want to be great, God, before us, raise this money. We are thinking, Lord, that there's something hindering your work. And anytime there's something hindering your work that is as mundane as bricks and mortar, we want to do everything we can humanly possible to take away that hindrance. But we know that you're going to need to move in our hearts in a way that gives us a sense of peace, a sense of conviction. And we know, Lord, you're going to need to resource us in ways in the future, if you haven't already, or if you've already given us all that we need, when you've plundered the world that we've lived in and given us that opportunity, I pray that we would bring it now in a way that we would just go, look what God asked us to do, and look what we had, and look how we've done it in a way that no one but God gets the glory. And we just want to agree together, Father, again, that your name is blessed, and we want to serve it. And we want to serve you and live in relationship with you. And it's not about what you'll give us. You might even set us back. We might be out of Lake Highlands. You might take away. And we'll still say, blessed be your name. We'll figure out what we're going to do then. But today we stand here and we say, people, followers of Christ, here's an opportunity. Bring that God might have a place, that his name would be renowned, and that his people might be reached and served in this city. I'll tell you, in no small part because of y'all, and I really mean that, the body of Christ of which I'm a part, it is easy for me to thank God. I want you to know that the scriptures say, live in such a way that those who are in positions of leadership with you and over you would have great joy. I got to tell you, you know, as much as a 40-something guy can say to a group of people like this, that my children give me joy, y'all give me incredible joy. And I am humbled to serve in the role that I get to serve in. I want to thank you for making it easy for me to love what I do, to wake up every morning, I get to do it again, to go to bed praying for you and thinking, I get to do this again. Thank you for allowing me to serve with you and to be what you are in and for Christ in this city. I can't wait that you're not with me tomorrow morning because of who you're going to be with, loving and serving. in the way you're going to worship in creative ways that we would never have imagined, because God's got you in strategic places tomorrow morning. I don't want anybody here to feel guilty that they don't have more porpoise skins to do something right now or in the next 3 months or next 6 months. You do everything that God wants you to do with your porpoise skins, and if you had 35 million of them, He wouldn't be any more pleased. If you leave here discouraged tonight because you can't do more, then you're saying, God, you're not good. You didn't give me what I needed to worship you. He's given you everything that He has needed to give you for you to be fully pleasing to Him. What more could you ask for? And I think that right here, there's more than enough. Call me crazy. But I don't think God would bring us where He's brought us if we couldn't do what wisdom has led us to pursue. We want to be a church on a hill that can't be hidden, a city on a hill that can't be hidden, and enjoy each other deeply while we make that impact on our city. I pray you have a great week of worship, lifting your hands for Him and being a city on a hill that can't be hidden.